Hello, everyone. You have entered the battle phase. It is I, the Midnight Bard, your favorite bard, and I am your student council president. Joining me, as always, are the boys. We have the one of the four ramen kings, Gamma.
I like my ramen well made and solid.
He prefers boxers over briefs, Sacro.
I like boxer briefs, actually. That's a weird thing to say on the stream, but there you guys go. No more wondering.
And a very special guest, Asayu, who is very good at rapping.
I'm no Kendrick Lamar, but I try, I guess.
Alrighty, welcome to the Battle Phase podcast. I struggle to say weekly because it's not a weekly thing. We record it weekly, but the episodes come out so staggered. I mean, it's a weird thing. But it's the podcast where we read, discuss, and watch anime and manga. And if you have any suggestions for what we should read next, for what we should discuss next, hit us up on our socials at the Battle Phase on X. And also, you can check us out on our gaming channel, Gamers Playing Games TV, where just yesterday we were playing Sonic Adventure, and I was terrible at it.
I don't know if that was considered playing. sorry. I was mean. It was fun.
I hear the enthusiasm there.
It was fun for the audience because they were like, look at this guy fail. And I'm fighting for my life in there. I'm like, please.
Let's just say we spent 20 minutes on a 3-minute level because they wouldn't listen to me.
Somebody in the chat would be like, wow, he sucks. I love this.
It was actually really difficult to hear too, because like the game audio was just so loud. So like there's a lot of stuff where like there's sound effects and explosions going on, and they're trying to tell me what to do, and I'm like, I can't hear either of you.
Yeah, because Helix and I both love that game.
Yeah, too. Sonic Adventure 2. It was great.
It does get loud. Not surprised.
Yeah, the Shadow showed up. And it was funny because, like, one of the biggest jokes was, you know, Sacred being like, we're not even going to make it to Shadow. We can't make it out of Escape from the City. So
we did die twice in Escape from the City. Oh,
yeah,
three
we
times.
Did. Actually, a few times. And, you know, it's a lot of, like, new mechanics where I'm like, okay, see, like, I didn't play this era of Sonic games. Like, the next era that I played started with, like, Sonic Colors, where a lot of the stuff that they introduced in this game had been like tweaked and refined, so like the homing attack always hits, the glides and stuff like that, like they're just like more intuitive. But like here, it's like the first time they're doing it, so like the homing attack, if you're not looking exactly directly at the enemy, you're just gonna fall off the stage. And I felt so dumb because I kept doing it, and I was like, why isn't the homing attack working? So yeah,
it was.
I mean, it ain't a classic game without tank controls, but we balled, really.
Yeah, we balled so hard we fell off the level.
They weren't quite bad enough to be considered tank controls, but they're pretty awful.
I don't know, man. Yeah. That camera was pretty awful. I'm over here like, I need to see in front of me.
I think it's safe to say it's tank controls.
Well, okay, so if you press backwards, did you turn around?
No, I mean, well, yes. So
that's not controls.
Control over the character was great. The camera was the problem.
Yeah, the camera is auto, so it's trying to force you where to go.
I guess the point I'm trying to make is like classic controls. I don't know the word. I'm just saying tank controls because I want to sound cool.
It's all good.
But you get the gist, really.
All right, Bart, let's go.
So today we're discussing Kaguya-sama Love is War. This is going to be one in a two-part series where we're going to discuss the works of Aka Akasaka. This started because Sekiro said, hey, I want you guys to watch Oshinoko. And I said, on one condition, we have to talk about Kaguya-sama. And Sayu, you got dragged into this because, you know, like, I was like, hey, we should hang, we should talk.
Yeah, exactly.
And then you were like, yeah, let's talk about the following subjects. And Kaguya-sama was in there. I was like, oh, that is perfect timing.
And,
let's go.
You asked me in DMs, I was like, oh, is there any particular topic or like an anime you want to talk about? I'm like, okay, I really enjoy Kaguya-sama. And you're like, oh my God, that's perfect.
Yeah, it was perfect. Like, the timing, like, honestly, we had just talked the night before about doing this episode. So whenever you said, like, I, you know, Kaguya-sama is what I enjoy, I was like, oh, you have no idea that we have been waiting for this moment.
Wow.
Some of us have.
Right on time. Some of us have.
So let's give a little overview of Kaguya-sama Love is War, and then we'll get into the discussion. So the basic story plot here is it's a story by Aka Akasaka. It's a romantic comedy, and I like to say that it's a romantic comedy with the stakes of a shonen battle manga. It's basically two tsundere's fall in love with each other, and they're under the presumption, or they work under the philosophy that love is a battlefield, love is a war, and the first person to confess their feelings is the one that loses. And so the rest of the series basically follows the adventures of the two primary characters, Kaguya Shinomiya and Miyuki Shirogane, as they engage in the battle of wits, lies, subterfuge, and coercion, attempting to get the other one to confess their feelings first. And this is happening all inside of their heads, more, you know, pretty much, while the rest of the world is completely unaware, or mostly unaware, of what's happening. There are some characters that kind of clue into it a lot faster than others, but yeah. So today, spoiler alert, we'll be discussing all three seasons of the anime, plus the 4-episode movie, which is The First Kiss That Never Ends. So, with that being said, let's get started on the discussion. What did you guys think of Kaguya?
The show or the character?
The show.
Oh. Okay. Yeah, okay, Gamma, I want you to start, actually. Go ahead.
You sure?
Yeah, dude, go for it.
Yeah.
That's Sai. Told me everything I need to know.
That's Sai. Yeah, tell me.
I almost dropped the series on Chapter 5 on Season 1.
Why?
It just got so... It was slow paced to me.
It like, was really slow paced to you?
What do you mean slow paced?
The only reason why I picked it up was Ishigami on Episode 6.
Oh, oh my lord. Okay, so like... okay.
And him as a character developed far more far more than any other characters in there.
I don't know about that, but yeah, okay, yeah, carry on.
I got to learn his backstory, the reason why he's so antisocial, why they pick on him, and that he's actually a kind person, even though he's he gives the vibes that he don't care about anybody else.
He gives some incel vibes, let's be real.
Oh, yeah,
yeah,
for
but
sure.
Not the bad incel vibes. There's like good incels and bad incels.
But more like, I don't want to talk to you.
And at the same time, even though he's a regular person, Kaguya helped him push himself to be better, at least at school, with very dubious methods, let's say.
Yeah. So let's see. What I'm hearing from you is you thought that the... And I can kind of understand, because this at first kind of had like the feel of like a skit. Type of manga where it's basically like a joke of the day and then, you know, we move on to the next chapter. So you thought that it was basically not going to go anywhere, that it was just going to be this ad infinitum until like the manga concluded, right?
By season one, nothing between A and B has happened.
What do you mean? What do you call the fireworks thing?
Controversial take.
They didn't make out. They didn't ask each other out.
That is the plot of
the
show.
The guy that he gave advice to went faster than him, and I'm like, come on, dude.
Oh, we will touch on Tsubasa and Kashiwagi later.
The whole point is the build-up to the payload of them actually making out. That's the whole point of the anime.
That is actually kind of like a really good thing, because, you know, like when you really think about it, like
I didn't get to the movie. I only got to season 3, episode 7.
You didn't finish season 3?
You didn't finish in season 3? Then, like,
season 3's ending.
Season 3's ending has to be one of the most satisfying things I have ever seen in anime.
It is
on
God. What I've seen is like, hey, if she doesn't ask me out, I gotta ask her out over here before I leave.
You missed like the biggest plot point of season 3.
And I'm like, you are literally waiting till you graduate to ask her out.
No, what? Gamma.
No, what?
Gamma's operating with incomplete information.
Spoiler alert, I guess, Gamma. Something happens at season three. Yeah.
Gamma's providing hot. Gamma's providing hot takes without even finishing the actual anime. Holy hell.
Yeah, dude. Like, so Gamma.
But I could at least finish the other two seasons for sure. But so, it was like, to me, felt like a, like I said, Ishigami was the whole reason why I kept going.
Okay.
That's the reason why when mm-hmm. I...
Oh, he has a satisfying ending, too.
Because to me, even though we're talking like about Akakasaka,
so
I could watch my love story from beginning to end without skipping an episode or being distracted more than Kaguya-sama, Love is War. Because Kaguya-sama, they do the same thing that you complain about on House Husband. Three mini things on one episode.
I never complained about that. I thought that was great.
Okay. Three little things on one episode.
Like, I think that's actually a great setup for a comedy.
Yeah.
And at times, even if I, when I get distracted, I go, oh, shoot. Am I on another episode? Oh, it's still the same thing. What's the joke now? Oh, okay.
So, you know how that there's like this recurring joke in this podcast, or Osayu, allow me to explain to you. There's this recurring joke because usually whenever we start watching an anime, Gamma will be the one that will be furthest ahead of everyone. So he'll have, you know, he'll have finished the anime, he'll have picked up the manga, and he'll be finished with the manga. So he'll know everything. And this time he's actually a little short of knowing, and it's kind of funny because I'm like I finished the manga, or I'm sorry, I finished the anime, I picked up the manga, and I know everything that happens because I finished it.
And now I could feel Bard over there having his chest all puffed out.
Smug sense of superiority. Yeah, I feel it.
For once, your crown has been taken from you, Gamma. It belongs to Bard this time.
Yeah,
you guys see like Jujutsu Kaisen, I've like that Gojo moment. We're all like between heaven and earth. I alone am the exalted one.
Wow.
So here's the thing. I just want to touch on a couple of things because Gamma doesn't know what happens, and we're going to be discussing it. So are you okay with the spoilers? Because they're coming.
Go for it, because I'm not going to pick it up.
You're not going to care.
No, he's not going to care. So just to give you some context, he is going to ask her out before he graduates. But here's the thing. He's not going to have his last year of high school because he's actually going to graduate early. So the timeline that he has to do it is actually a lot shorter. Additionally, he applied to Stanford University.
Yeah, and he got that far.
Okay, and he got accepted. So not only is he going to be graduating sooner than everyone, but he's also going all the way to America. So if nothing happens now, then it's all over. All of this will have been for nothing. And he kind of puts the ball in her court by explaining to her, yeah, this is what's happening. I'm leaving, and you don't have the time that you think you do. And it turns into this whole thing where they're like, I can't, you know, like where she's like, I can't deal with this. And almost like she goes into crisis mode trying to figure out what to do. And ultimately she decides the only thing I can do is enjoy the time that I have left. So it's almost like she completely drops all pretenses of he has to confess first. And now she's like, you know what? I don't care anymore. Let's do it. But whenever she decides to do that, now she goes looking for him and he's nowhere to be found. And ultimately, you know, like, I don't know if you got to the mystery part of the culture festival where there was somebody going around stealing things.
I'm on episode 7.
No, he's not there yet.
There's a phantom thief going around stealing things from the culture festival, particularly the heart-shaped balloons. They're all disappearing. And so ultimately, Kaguya puts two and two together. It's him. He's the one doing it. And she finds out that he's at the top of the clock tower, the tallest structure in the school. So she goes there to meet him. And basically he says, before we get anywhere, let me tell you how I feel about you. And he releases this rig that he's put together, and this big weather balloon that has all of the heart-shaped balloons in it floats over the bonfire. It causes the weather balloon to burst, and now the entire sky is filled with heart-shaped balloons. It is like, it is one of the biggest spectacles of cinema, dude. I was like, no,
I literally did the Martin Scorsese post. I'm like, this is cinema, like literally.
This is absolute cinema. It was wild. And the thing is, you know, now she's like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. And so, you know, she's overwhelmed. And he's like, another thing, I am going to Stanford, but you know what? You get one letter of recommendation when you're student council president. But I became student council president twice, which means I didn't need a second one. So what I did is I asked the principal to do one for you. Go to Stanford with me. Go to America with me.
She got money.
Yeah, so, yeah,
well,
sure.
You need more than money to get to Stanford. You need more than money to get to Stanford.
Yeah, but not that I don't think that the Shinoi Miya group could
He'll be the one struggling because he's broke.
Yeah, well, sure. But, like, anyway, point of the matter is, so he says, you get a letter of recommendation. Go to Stanford with me. Apply. Let's go together. And he's not outright saying, you know, like, I'm into you or anything like that. But, like, honestly, at this point, you could just kind of tell, right?
You might as well just
they
say.
They literally make out.
And, he did kind of say it there, actually.
Yeah, this all culminates with, you know, basically he had said, yeah, you know what, yeah, since you found me, you get one wish, and then he does all this, and then she says, I know what my one wish is, and she basically just, like, leaps in for the kiss, and it is the most satisfying resolution to anything I've ever seen up to this point. I was like, oh my God, this is excellent.
The three-season wait was absolutely worth it for that moment. Like,
the
three-season
wait was...
perfect.
Crew like binged it. It was not as satisfying as I hoped it would be.
Well, yeah, you binged it all in like a couple of days.
I stayed up late watching it, and I'm like, I'm so tired, man. It's like almost 1 in the morning.
I just want this to end.
And then I woke up at 7. Yeah, basically, I woke up at 7 this morning, and I'm like,
yeah,
I'm on my second cup of coffee, but I drink a coffee because I was working on some other stuff. Mm-hmm. And I'm like watching the show, and I'm like, oh, cool, they're doing the thing. Oh, Phantom Thieves, I love that. That's very Persona. And then I was like, oh, cool. Oh, well, they did it. Finally. Thank you.
Let's go. They kissed. Woohoo. Okay, moving on.
Woo, yeah. Let's chat and tell Bart I liked it.
I woke up at 6 in the morning again, and I went like, okay, I'm halfway through season 2. Let's try to get all the way done with season 3.
At this point, I'm not going to happen.
Screw.
You guys lost sleep over this shit?
Yeah, they lost sleep over it. Like, I was watching this as it was airing. I was like, come on, man. Imagine.
Same. I was like, every day it aired, I was like anticipating each episode. I'm like, oh my God, what's going to happen now? What's going to happen now? And then the final episode of season 3 dropped. I'm like, holy shit. They finally did it. Oh my God.
Here's the thing. At the time, like, I didn't know anyone else who was watching it, so I had, like, this kind of, like, parasocial relationship with reaction YouTubers who were watching the final episode. I went on and I watched, like, all of them react to the final episode of Kaguya, and I'm like, they get it! They get it!
Somebody understands me!
Yeah, and the craziest thing is that, like, I didn't see a single person, well, until, like, Gamma and Sekiro, who watched that last episode, who wasn't in tears. You know, like, everybody was in tears. I was like,
I was tired, to be fair.
Yeah, I mean, you're on coffee, so
I'm
get that.
I'm tired, cranky right now, and I'm like, oh.
Like,
no.
If you're, like, patiently watching, like, after each week, every episode drop, then I'm pretty sure you would have bawled your eyes out, but, you know.
No, yeah, for real.
Oh, no, so it's just, since you're on coffee and watching the whole thing in, like, one go, it felt like the payload didn't hit you well. But, yeah, you were saying?
Here's the thing, like, and you know, like, just before you go, Sekiro, I was just going to say, like, I binged the first two seasons because those were already out. But, like, season 3, I was, like, week to week. But, anyway, you were saying, Sekiro?
Oh, so... Literally, he told us this, like, a week. We had about a week to watch this. Yeah. We just got done reading 30 chapters of manga. So I was, like, back-to-back binging content. And I don't binge. I like to sit back, enjoy it for a little bit, watch pieces here and there. And this is, like, Bob's Burgers. I just throw that on the background while I'm doing things. Love that show. it's so good. Another discussion for another time.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
So I was, like, Bob's watching Burgers it. Enthusiast. Bob's Burgers is great. I love Mabel's voice actress.
Bob Kristen Burgers Shaw is great.
She's great. So I was binging the show. I watched all of season one in about 2 days, and then I watched season two. I was like, okay, I should have time to watch two episodes a day so I can get through this. Did not have that kind of time. But I watched the first half of the first season with my wife, and usually when we watch something together, and if she's enjoying it, I'm like, okay, cool, I can watch it with her. She did not like the show. She did not. She loves slow romance stories, but she said this is not slow. They didn't have any buildup whatsoever. They're just already into each other before it starts, and they're just playing mind games.
Likes that discovery, like the
she
discovery
likes
period.
The actual pace of it. This is not the same. This is the people already like each other. They're already there. Everything's happening. You already know how it's going to end. You're just waiting for it to end.
Basically. Now here's the thing. The weird thing about this one is the way that it's structurally composed. What do you call it? We do see what your wife likes, but like in season three, in like an episode, you know, like we get to figure out like
she sat down to watch the Ishigami episode with me because she really liked that, and she's like, oh, cool, it's got a little bit of like Oshinoko in it, and I'm like, okay, yeah, I see what Bard was going off about. The rest of it, nothing Oshinoko related, actually, at all, really. Like, there's a few sections where it's like, okay, yeah, I get what this is going for, but it's like that's a basic character trait at this point, like the guy who's brooding or whatever, and he's actually the really nicest guy ever. I'm like, yeah, not as good as they did in Oshinoko, but I won't talk about Oshinoko too much. I love that anime. But
that's like in this podcast, we stand for Aka Akasaka. Okay,
yeah, he's a great.
We're all Aka Akasaka fans here.
Absolutely, Gamma's on the fence, but you know,
I'm on the fence too. Actually,
really on the fence
with this one. But I feel like if I had watched it slower, I would have enjoyed it more.
So I was saying, if you're watching weekly, like, me and Bard were, I'm actually, very sure that you would have enjoyed it way more than when you binged it.
I would have, but I also, I have reasons for that, but go ahead, Bard, what were you going to say?
Actually, I was going to say, now that I think about it, it was kind of redundant, because I was going to be like, Sacro, tell us your take on Kaguya, and you literally were doing just that, so.
Yeah. I'm rolling into it. Let me give you some hot takes, I guess. I did not like I thought the chemistry between the main two, between Kaguya and Miyuki, was terrible. I think he has a better chemistry with every other character in the series.
Well, and
Ishigami, bromance, that's perfect.
No, yeah, that is a
him
perfect
and
bromance.
Chika in the Fujiwara, perfect in every way. Him and literally every character, he has perfect synergy and like it works well. They're supposed to be awkward around each other, but they're not friends, it feels like.
Here's the thing about that, I feel, Sacro, and this might just be oversimplifying it, but I do feel like you do not like the two main characters being into each other. You like it when a main character is into like a side character, or like they discover romance that isn't like the main guy, main girl.
I do, but I don't think his relationships with any of the characters are romance related. I think he has great chemistry with them, like they work so well. Every episode where Fujiwara's training him on something, those are my favorite episodes. I don't care about anything else. I watched the rap episode at like, I want to say it was sometime last night. I was watching it before and I'm like, dude, what?
Dude, that rap episode hits you like a sucker punch when you're not ready for it. It
is literally one of my favorite episodes from the entire show. Like,
same.
I also have to say, there is one character
I
think
he
has.
Sacro.
Thank you, Gamma. I like to hear that.
I think this is the first episode where Gamma and Sacro agree on something. Normally, Gamma agrees with me. This is weird.
Wow. I'm very honored Gamma's to be in my corner. Here to witness this historic event.
Yes, thank you for being here. History. Right here. This
Look
is wild.
At the camera.
There is one character I think that Miyuki has a way better relationship with, and he probably could have dated, and I would have been fine with it, even though it's obvious enough to be Kaguya.
Is it Hayasaka?
It's Hayasaka. Have the perfect chemistry.
Right there. Thank you.
It's not that she's best girl. She is best girl. Well, not for me. I have a different girl, though. It's my favorite. But that's like because Hayasaka I don't see it from his point of view. He's not my main character, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I think they have a great chemistry. I like her a lot. I feel worse for her. Have you guys seen... what's it called? Show with Taiga and the other guy.
Oh,
Toradora. Have you seen Toradora?
Yeah. No.
Yes.
Toradora did this concept way better, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. The two tsunderes. Yeah. It was perfect in that show. And I always compare things to it, which is sucky because I haven't been able to rewatch it since they dubbed it, because I watched it subbed when it first came out. I heard the dub's pretty good, but I just haven't sat down to rewatch it. But everything I compare to that show, K-On!, Canon, I was obsessed with slice of life animes. And so when I watch these, I'm like, oh yeah, this is kind of just like that one I watched like 10 years ago. And the art's beautiful. I laughed a lot more than I thought I would. Well, I laughed less than I thought I would. The season one did not make me laugh. I feel so bad for saying that, but I did not.
What about the ramen episode?
I like his face.
Yeah.
That's a very interesting subject. Okay.
It was so... I love when they have ultra hyper realistic faces for a joke.
Yeah.
One character, too.
It's like the most dreadful face that you ever see.
Yeah. The ramen in Japan's also so good, man. You just gotta try it.
One thing that I do have to say about this, you know, like, I swear, like, by the time I was at the ramen episode, I could not recommend this anime enough to anyone. You know, like, one of my normie friends who isn't, like, he's not into anime, but like he's always like the metric I use by which to tell people like this anime is good because my normie friend liked it and he doesn't like anime. So I showed him like Kaguya-sama and, you know, like episode one, he's like, okay, this is interesting. By the Ishigami episode, he's like, okay, this is really good. When we got to the Ramen Kings, he was like, this is peak comedy. And I was like, yeah, see? I'm
the Ramen like, King thing reminds me of Persona 4 also, or 3, sorry. There's a guy in there who's like the food king or whatever. And
the Ramen King episode reminds me of a Netflix series called Midnight Diner.
I've never heard of that.
It's the same concept as what the guy does. He just goes to a diner that serves whatever food ingredients you bring. They tell you their life story. Mini stories in there. But it's live action.
Oh, I see.
Same setting, too.
Okay, I was gonna say like it's like the plot. He basically a guy goes to like a food restaurant and then he's super snobby about the way that it's presented.
No, it's the same exact diner too that only opens up midnight.
Oh man, I can't tell you how many times we reference the Ramen King episode whenever we actually go out to get ramen. I mean, it's like, it is like the thing we do now. It's so great.
Surprisingly, good ramen in Oklahoma.
So. Did you have anything else to add on, Sakura?
You know, best girl. I'm done.
Okay. I knew that you would like Ino. She
reminds me. You want me to give my reasons real quick?
Sure. Yeah.
Sure.
You guys haven't seen K-On. I know that.
I've seen a bit of K-On.
Right.
I've seen bits and pieces.
Okay. In season two of K-On, they introduce Azusa.
Mm-hmm.
She is really good at guitar. Just naturally insane. Like she's really good. But she had to practice for it. She had to practice all the time, and she wanted to join a band. There's only one music club, so she joins their club. She joins and finds out that all they do is slack off, eat treats, and do literally everything but play music.
Oh, God. So exactly
the same story of what Eno's does. And she's my favorite character because I felt for her. I'm like, I mean, the whole rules thing doesn't matter to me. Like, I don't care about the rules that much, but... the one who wants to come in and wants to take the thing seriously, but everyone else just wants to mess around. And
some of my favorite jokes in Kaguya-sama were Ino walking in when she shouldn't be.
Or overhearing stuff that she shouldn't be hearing.
Yeah.
I like Ishigami going home, I'm going to go die.
Dude, that's like...
I have Stockholm Syndrome. Literally, yeah. I'm going to go home.
The most relatable.
Go home now.
Like, I'm gonna die now. Please don't die.
You can go home now, but please don't die.
Like one of my favorite lines.
So, Sayu, it's your turn at the mic, my man. Tell us your thoughts on Kaguya-sama.
Honestly, like my thoughts, I really enjoyed the anime. Like as I was like, I binged the first two seasons, but again, I like season three, I watched it weekly because I was like very hyped and stuff. I do not binge anime. Mm-hmm. I always like to wait for it because, you know, keeps it fresh and my anticipation stays up. Otherwise, I'm like, oh, this is boring. And when I watch Kaguya-sama, I'm like, oh my god, this is peak cinema. Absolute cinema. The comedy, I feel like... I haven't laughed this much watching an anime. Like let's compare it to like Konosuba. Even Konosuba hasn't made me laugh this much. And that anime made me laugh a lot, by the way. So that's saying something.
Agreed.
And like...
I'm the same way. I felt like Konosuba was great, but I thought Kaguya just made me laugh more.
Yeah, like especially like season three of like the latest season of Konosuba, I felt like I didn't laugh a lot compared to like the previous seasons. But Kaguya-sama just keeps me like on edge every time. I'm like, oh, there's something coming here. I can't expect it, but there's something coming. And then when it lands, I'm on the floor every single time. Like, I'm like gasping for air.
Yeah.
And I really enjoyed the humor and especially the dynamics like between like Kaguya and Shiragane. I'm like, okay, they clearly obviously like each other, like that's stated on the first episode, but they're like too proud to confess to each other, and I'm like, oh my god, who's gonna do it first? Can you end this? Can somebody confess, man? How much levels of height are you gonna go with like this thing? Like, how much are you gonna escalate this? Like, it's
a lot like regular show a little bit in that, you know, like this is a nothing plot, right? Like this should be simple, but like it just goes to such absurd levels, and it's like this,
like,
is
every
great
episode, like, or not even every episode, like every skit, every like part of that episode, I'm like watching, I'm like, surely they can't one up this part by the next bit, right? Surely can't get crazier than this, and then immediately it gets even crazier the next bit. I'm like, oh my god. Is what am I even watching at this point? I'm like, okay, this is peak, but what the hell am I watching? Like, that's the thing I like about this. Like, it's not like trying to be grounded, because like a lot of anime I see recently are like trying to be realistic and very grounded and all. And I'm like, okay, like this is generic anime number 965. Very cool. But with Kaguya-sama, I'm like, it's always fresh. You can't expect anything, and I feel like that's like one of the best parts of how, like, or one of the major like parts of how an anime should be. It should be like unpredictable, like keeps you like anticipating, and I feel like Kaguya-sama nailed that a lot. And as I was saying, like character dynamics, like Ishigami, he's literally the most relatable guy. Like, he's literally me.
Yeah.
Like, I have no idea how many times I called, I want to go home. Literally. like he's that relatable. And, like, I used to be him. I'm very more, like, outgoing now. But I used to be him. Like, I'm, like, always focused on, like, games or my phone rather than talk to people. And I'm like, oh, my god. He's the best character in the anime. Like, nobody comes.
I was going to say, you know, like, what are the... One of Ishigami's best bits was whenever they were going to, like, you know, like, oh, exam season. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's the episode where everyone's lying. So it's like, yeah, you know, like, oh, I don't study that much. He's lying. You know, like, oh, yeah, you know, you don't need to study that much as long as you've been paying attention. And, yeah, she's lying. And then Ishigami's like, I'm going to go home and study. It's like, yeah, he's also lying. He just bought a new game. And I was like,
yeah, he bought
a game for finals.
He bought a Mario Kart ripoff, the new sequel, like, for his Nintendo Switch or whatever.
For his Switch?
That was a funny episode.
I really loved that gag where he actually played Mario Kart 8. I'm like, what the hell? Who gave me permission for this? Like, it's very funny. And I feel like not just like his comedic bits, but his like realistic side, like the things he go through.
Yeah.
Like, at least a little bit of that I've been through myself. So I heavily relate to the guy. And I felt like that makes him, like, easily the best character in the whole anime. But let's not forget the goat of the act, like, the actual goat, the narrator. Like, come on. You cannot talk about this show without talking about the damn narrator, especially in the English dub. I feel like the English dub narrator is actually way better than the Japanese one. Like, because the Japanese...
I was going to ask you if you watched a dub or sub.
I watched both.
And, like, yes,
I watched,
you know,
both.
Because I agree with you. I think that the narrator in the dub was just amazing. Just, like, elevated, like, the original source material. Mm-hmm. And just Ian Sinclair is a treasure,
dude,
man.
Ian
like,
Sinclair.
That man, I was like, you nailed this.
Ian Sinclair
this is wild.
The goat. Like, okay, comparing the sub of Kaguya-sama to its English dub is like comparing ghost stories from the Japanese and the English version. It's, like, so... It's so, like, outlandishly funny, but it still, like, maintains some of its core, like, from the original sub. And I feel like how is this possible? It's usually the other way around. Like, you see more right. sub appreciators than dub appreciators, but for Kaguya-sama, it's one of the only anime where I see, like, people enjoying the dub more because of how freaking funny the narrator is, and I feel like that's actually a huge plus point. Like it's just very, very funny. And other than that, really, I Hayasaka, best girl. Like, no competition. Like, I just can't.
So, this opens us up to like, and I guess I'll give my takes here in just a little bit, but, like, this opens us up to the next subject that we're going to talk about, which is, hey, favorite characters. So, like, guys, be thinking about that while I give my takes on Kaguya.
Oh, sure.
Here's the thing. I did not expect to like this anime as much as I did. Whenever I was, you know, because I started watching it, like, at a point where I was basically just sitting at home because, like, you know, at the time I didn't have a job. And it just kind of took over, you know, like I showed it to my wife and both of us would just like marathon through seasons 1 and 2, and season 3 was coming out at the time. So we started like watching it bit by bit, and I flew into just like a frenzy of like, I need to know about this author, man, because like, who is this guy? This is insanity. This is like the way that it's structured, which is like, it's a slice of life, but it's got like such high stakes out of nowhere, right? Like everything's framed in the way of a war. So I love, like, you know, whenever we're doing something just simple and silly, like, you know, we're playing the game of life, you know, but like the stakes are so high. Like, oh, we're playing like the forbidden word game, but it's like, but like, I can't afford to lose. It is so wild. To me, I was always like, this is like a romantic comedy, but like it's featuring shonen characters, you know, like shonen battle characters. Mm-hmm. It's so weird. The narrator, absolutely the best thing ever. And I was so surprised whenever I learned that the narrator in the dub was not the same as he was in the sub or even in the manga. Because like I said, once I finished the anime, I went out and I read the entire manga. And fun little tidbit here. Because, you know, like, Seikro says that he likes Oshinoko, and he says that Kaguya, it kind of touches on it a little bit here and there, but it's not the same. After, like, I don't know, and we'll talk about the movie here in a little bit, but the movie kind of takes a tilt towards, like, a more serious thing, and the manga kind of keeps the same tone for the rest of the time. Like, there's comedy still in it, but it's actually a lot more serious. You know, we get to learn more about Kaguya and her family. And her family, oh boy. That is a load of bastards if I've ever met any. So, you know, we get to learn more about her family. We learn about Miyuki's mom, which we touched on her barely. But, like, when we learn more about her, it's like, oh, this is terrible. We learn about why Miyuki's dad is the way he is. And also, he gets a job as a live streamer, which is wild.
The dad does?
The dad does.
Oh, God.
I was rooting for him. It is so funny.
I never imagined Dio, out of all people, to get a live streaming job. Like, have ever imagined, like, Dio just streaming Fortnite on Twitch? That's exactly how it sounds like when you see that bit. I laughed my ass off when I...
And it's so hilarious because originally he wanted to be a VTuber, and Kay was like, no, 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 no. My dad is not becoming an anime husbando. I'm not taking it. It was so funny.
I mean, I forgot the sister, too. She's so realistic, at least.
The sister is really realistic. It's like, you know, like, I have a sister, and, like, Kay and her acted the same when we were in high school. You know, it was so weird. But, yeah, so, like, the manga actually gets more serious as we go on. Mm-hmm. And it's so weird, but like it's almost like a sucker punch if you're not ready for it, because you get used to Kaguya as like, oh, this is the funny, really absurd slice of life rom-com. And then it turns into like, oh my gosh, the rich really do own the poor, don't they? And it's so weird. Yes. But it has a really satisfying ending. But, like, me personally, I kind of have, like, this feeling where I'm like, we're probably not going to get a season 4 because I feel like it would be just, like, a really drastic tone shift. Mm-hmm. But I think that where they ended it, even with the movie, is just, it's perfect. I'm like, if you do not go any further than this, this is a good place to end on. And fun fact, it's not like you didn't know that this was going to happen, but like the conclusion to Kaguya actually does or is solidified, is like cemented in Oshinoko.
Yeah, I know that.
Yeah, where I
read that.
Yeah, I read that too. Like, I haven't gotten to it in the manga for Oshinoko, but I heard about it. And I was like, oh, that's kind of cool, you know, because it's like,
that's pretty cool. They're married.
Yeah, they're married. And Kaguya is a photographer now, and you know, like they hire her for like photography and like something in Oshinoko. And
wait, it's the same universe.
She's not going. It's the same universe. Oh, so cool.
Yeah, it's the same universe.
So she doesn't go by Kaguya Shinomiya anymore. She goes by Kaguya Shirogane, which you knew that was gonna happen, right? But it's like.
Yeah, that was going to happen.
But like, you know, like it's nice to see it in Oshinoko. And another little tidbit is, you know, like the Ghost Suite manga, that episode, mm-hmm. that comes up in Oshinoko too, which was hilarious to me.
Yeah.
So it's great.
It's a nice little tie up, like a tie on the bow kind of thing.
I do love it when authors kind of do that, where, you know, like they like their universes are shared and like things from one series kind of crosses over to the next. I love it when that happens. It's beautiful. Yeah, guys, favorite characters.
Yeah, no doubt. Hayasaka.
Yeah, Hayasaka was one of my favorite characters.
Come on.
And you know, I was like, oh, so she's just like this deadpan maid, whatever. But like when I found like, oh, so she's a lot of the time she's fanning the flames, you know, like she's like an instigator. Mm-hmm. I love this.
I love when she's at career day and she's like, I want a career change. And like, what?
I want a career change.
Yeah.
But I think if I had to go with my favorite character, it's probably Fujiwara.
It's really hard because to say that Fujiwara is not like at least in the top
she
five,
like,
right?
Runs basically the everything.
Fujiwara's.
Yeah.
Yeah, Fujiwara's literally right below Hayasaka for me. Yeah. Like, I just can't put them on the same level. But Fujiwara, I can respect that choice.
The best
really.
Joke in the entire show for me, the one that made me laugh harder than any other joke, was when the main guy calls and he's like, I need to talk to who you said. I can't remember her name. Hayasa. And Osaka, yeah. And like she looks over and she goes, what? And her nose starts bleeding. And I'm like, dude.
Yeah, so yeah. Like whenever they were like, yeah, they're like on a video call with Shirogane and Kay, and they're talking about like, well, who do you like? And then Kay kind of like jumps in like, no. I see him texting all the time. It's someone called Hayasaka. And at this point, she was dressed like as the butler. Uh-huh. So Chika's like, oh my God. It's just like this implication that he's like in a boy love romance.
So, yeah, and her nose bleeds immediately and she walks off to the bathroom. I'm like, what joke are they trying to go with? And she's trying to clean her nose up. I'm like, okay, good. that's her. Well, there's also during the rap episode it happens again when he like trying to force her to like talk about her.
Oh, can I just say like, you know, like Chika saying motherfucker in the rap episode?
Yes.
Dude.
When you save it
in the rap, oh my God. I was like, I did not expect her to swear in the rap, but it's just
it was
phenomenal.
So well timed and the bleep effect. It was perfect.
You know,
also that one moment when she teaches Shirogane how to play sports or something, and she's in the audience like all battered up and shit, and then she looks at Kaguya and she's like, I raised them.
Oh
boy.
Yeah, that one. Yeah, got me
that,
too.
That killed me.
So I'm saying
that
like
one of my favorite
he has the best chemistry with everybody but the main girl, but him and Fujiwara
you
have
know what's
the
funny, like,
best buddy comedy.
This kind of reminds me, Seikiro, because you were saying that you didn't think that, like, what do you call it, Kaguya and Shirogane had good chemistry. And immediately what I thought of was that one episode where she told Shirogane to be more self-conscious, right? And he's going around asking Ino, like, do you see me as a, is it possible that you could see me as a romantic partner? You know, just trying to get his bearings, like, how do I come across? And everybody just kind of misreads that, right? Uh-huh. But then Chika's all like, oh, well, if I had to say, like, what my favorite person is, like, you know, somebody who maybe isn't too good at things, but, you know, he fights really hard to overcome his difficulties and this and that. And the more she talks, the more she realizes she's describing Shirogane, and she's like, oh my gosh, I would be into someone like you. What a horrible thing to realize.
Yeah. Oh, she's like, everything's good about you, but your face. Like, oh, okay. The weirdest part for me, too, is the first episode sets them up as the most like popular and attractive people. And then it's like immediately like, yeah, that's not true. They're not that, actually. Like, what?
Mm-hmm.
Like, what's going on here? You said one thing, and then you're showing me the opposite here.
It's a lot of like subversion comedy, and I think that's great personally. But, yeah. So you were saying, what's it called? Favorite characters, Fujiwara, like best girl in your opinion, or what do you think?
No, I still go with Ina for best girl. I just something about her I like, but Fujiwara's her character. She does her best.
Mm-hmm. How about you, Brother Gamma? I think I can guess that your favorite character is Ishigami.
Yeah, he's my favorite character. So I think that the president would have been better off dating the butler.
Dating Hayasaka, yeah.
As the butler.
And you
though.
Know, like, Hayasaka? The thing is, that was kind of like something that was kind of set up a lot, too, where it's like, I kind of figured that there would be like a love triangle eventually.
Yeah.
And it kind of doesn't pay off. And I was like, yeah, well, I mean, that would be contrary to the premise of the show. So I get it. But, you know, the karaoke
and the
episode.
The thing is that she even says that I wouldn't mind being your side piece. And I was like, well.
You know, she was doing that to instigate, though. Like, I don't know if she meant it.
She said it with her chest after she was like,
she
well,
said it with
I
her whole
like
chest.
Him.
She says everything with her chest, my dude.
Yeah.
Yeah. Whatever Hayasaka says, you always have to take it with a grain of salt.
That's
like,
true, because that's how she is, you know. Like, and as a matter of fact, she even says so during the karaoke episode that, and, you know, this is a big theme that comes up in Oshinoko a lot, which I figured that this was to be something that Sakura would kind of catch, is the subject of you make up lies to kind of present yourself as something that you're not, right? So I was like, yeah, so, like, Hayasaka is kind of like, She is who she is, and this comes up later in the manga. Like, she is who she is, but, like, at the same time, she's kind of a mask that she puts on, you know? So, like,
yeah, they kind of hinted that, like, oh, hey, you're all insecure underneath all the stuff that you do. And at one point,
yeah,
I believe that the main female character told her, you and me were the same, which I was like, oh, that doesn't make sense because she's more blunt.
That's
because
you didn't watch the movie.
She's far more blunt than you, girl. She will go to the guy and tell you, hey, this is what I like.
You know, but here's the thing, though. I feel like with Hayasaka, it's like, yeah, she is blunt, right? But, like, it's almost like in a, you're deceiving by telling the truth, you know? Like, so you're telling a truth,
just like
but you're
her
telling
mom.
It in a way that people kind of perceive that it's not real. Whereas Kaguya, like, makes up lies and then just, like, lives them very, very strict to, like, what they are. And that way people can't tell who she is. That being said, while we're on the subject of Hayasaka, karaoke episode where Kaguya thought something was going on inside of the karaoke room.
Oh, my God. And then Chika made it even worse. She became, like, a whole-ass detective. Yeah. And she was like, oh, my God, there's something going on between these two. And Kaguya was like, oh, my, no.
All the stuff on the subtitles, I was like, oh, no. Oh,
it's
no.
Like, oh, the president, he's so bad. It's like, he's so bad. And, like,
so,
what about him?
He's so big.
So big.
And I was like, whoa.
What's
and
big?
Then
his
she
voice.
Sees,
whoa, what do you mean by that?
Then whenever she sees her, like, oh, he was so inept, but he's so big. And I was like, well, he doesn't help that he
like,
comes
what?
Out.
His first time.
Well,
give him a break.
First time.
I think
oh
you find
my
out,
lord.
Is this music?
It's not music.
Like,
it's rap specifically.
Yeah. I like how that's so on brand for Shirogane, too, that he likes things, but he's just bad at them, right? And, you
he's,
know, like,
he's just bad
he's
at everything.
He's terrible at everything else except school.
No, but here's the thing, though. Like, and again, you didn't watch the movie, but like, the thing is, he was bad at school, too. And it was kind of like,
yeah.
He kind of like, man, this is a little bit in the manga. This is not a huge spoiler, but like one of the big, his mom leaves the family.
They mentioned that on the anime.
Yeah, they did.
Right. So she leaves the family. But the thing is, Shirogane was little and he kept trying to get into Shuchin Academy by taking the exams and he failed every time. Mm. And eventually when his mom left, he blamed himself for it because he can never do what she expected of him.
Oh, snap.
And this is why he became like super like determined to be like the best student. One of the two reasons why he determined to be like just super studious and to always overachieve because in his head, if I can't be the best, then people will leave. And it was just like, oh, yeah. Like whenever that like hits you, you're like, oof. But this entire time,
say,
you know,
it's like, didn't he say it on the anime, like, hey, I gotta be the best at studying because I'm broke and everybody
else
that's is
rich.
That's
one of the reasons. So
yeah, that's more like, it's not, it's like a half truth.
Yeah,
really. It's like, he's not, he doesn't mean that fully because he has other intentions on why he's like studying very hard, but he uses that as a front. Like if anybody just asks you, oh, why are you so studious? I'm broke. That's like the easiest explanation.
Let's be honest.
Right. Because it's the explanation that you can give.
Guy has five part-time jobs.
Shirogane exactly. is a hard worker, dude. But like, I think that Sayu's right in that, like, that's the explanation you can give without revealing the part about yourself that you're insecure about. You know, like you could be like, "Oh yeah, it's just because I'm broke." But on the inside, you know, it's like because you feel like if I'm good enough, mom will come back. You know, and it's just like,
yeah,
it's a really like hard thing to like say to somebody that you just met, right? So
without, you could go ahead and tell me spoilers about this. Dad hasn't signed the divorce papers, and he's still hoping for his wife to come back. Does she ever come back?
She does, but you're not happy when she does. That's the best way that
Is
I can put it without
episode?
Giving any spoil. It's not a divorce episode. Basically, it's like, without giving any spoilers, here's basically what happens.
I told you, give me the spoilers. I ain't gonna watch it.
But, well, Sayu might want to read this later. I don't want to, like, spoil anything.
Yeah, okay, I want to read it later. I haven't read this part yet.
So, like, this isn't a huge spoiler, but basically here's what happens is, you know, like, Miyuki has FaceTime with his mom for the first time after she left.
Oh.
And he's like, and he's basically like, look what you did to me. You made me this way. And she's like, oh, well, good. Look at you, your student council president at Shuchin Academy. I think me leaving was a good thing.
Oh.
And I'm like, oh my God. I was like,
that fucking sucks.
Oh, it sucks so bad, dude. Like, whenever it happens, it hurts you. And it's like, oh, this is painful.
They would like the show more if they had more of that.
Yeah, just imagine, like, your mom just. Yeah, it's like, imagine your mom calling you and saying, oh, it's good that I left you. You're better now. That sucks. Dude.
Oh, it
like,
sucks so hard.
It's different.
Like, so basically, like, what this does is it makes me appreciate their dad more. Because, like, their dad's kind of a goofball. But, like, the thing is, he's always...
But he cares.
He cares. And I'm like, see, his mom, you can't say that about her. And when you find out the reason why his dad's company went under, oh, that kills you even more.
No.
But anyway. Yeah, Gamma, I'm going to DM you, and I just want to hear your reaction. Give me 2 seconds. Like,
okay.
You guys, I want you to hear his reaction.
Was his company the Moon Company that made the wash?
No.
Because he spoke on an episode about a company that he bought a wash for that went under.
Did he talk about his watch? He gave it to his son.
Yeah, he gave it to his son. All right, Gamma, I DM'd it. I want to hear your reaction. Say nothing.
Oh,
but like,
no.
Yeah.
Why?
Yeah.
Oh, no.
That sounds harsh.
No.
Okay, I'm preparing myself for the worst.
Yeah, you prepare yourself because, it is wonderful. And it is especially because, Gamma, you have seen season 2.
Yeah.
He has interacted with this character.
Yeah.
Right?
Man,
so,
that's messed up.
Yeah. Anyway, carrying on.
You sent it to me too, by the way. I'm not reading it either.
Okay. I got very high expectations of getting like PTSD after.
Oh
this.
No, yeah. The manga goes to some dark places, dude. It is so like I said, you know, if you're not ready for it, it will sucker punch you. It is so wild.
Oh Lord. I'm gonna be that one guy in the helmet, the war guy meme.
The war guy meme, yes, exactly. I'm looking for you.
I'm gonna be that by the time I'm done.
I'm looking for Sacro, like on a DM.
I just DM'd him.
Oh, okay, cool.
That's kind of exactly what I expected. Never mind. I thought it was way, way worse.
Oh, okay. Well, anyway. you can see the duality of man here.
I interact with stories.
I mean, come on, bro. Sacro has seen... Yeah, you've seen worse shit than this before, so it's no surprise.
But the fact is that after you tell me this, the way that he interacted with them, it says a lot about him.
It says a lot about it. Like, and this is why I respect the dad so much, because I was like, wow, you really are just like the chillest guy in the world. That you are like the person who's like, hey, I'm just gonna keep on living. And I was like, I respect the hell out of you, man. Like, it's, and he's voiced in, by Dio Brando in Japanese. So yeah, I love him.
Oh, no wonder his voice was familiar.
You know, the whole thing is actually.
Yeah, that's why I made the whole Dio playing Fortnite joke.
It's
earlier.
So beautiful. Oh, when he has to teach Eno to play Fortnite, that's wonderful.
I think with what you sent me though, he's playing the long con. He's winning. Technically,
I can see what you would say. I can see what you would say that. Yeah. But anyway, no more spoilers. Let's talk about the movie.
There's still spoilers for me.
Well, yeah, but you said you weren't gonna watch
too
it.
Bad.
So. All right. So the movie for Gamma, who hasn't seen it, basically, Kaguya has a little bit of a mental breakdown after she kisses Shirogane at the end of season 3. Because she basically lowers her guard all the way down.
Oh.
And there's a point where that there's like these constructs, these metaphors of herself in her head, you know, where it's like her when she was cruel and mean, the one that they call Ice Princess Kaguya. Mm-hmm. There's her normal self as we know her. And there's like a little one that everyone calls like Baka Kaguya or Bakaguya for short. And basically, they kind of have an argument inside of her head where it's basically like, yeah, we're in love. You know, this is a good thing. But Ice Princess Kaguya is like, you all are acting like idiots. And I can't believe that we've become this. And so ultimately, you know, like little Kaguya kind of like it provokes her. He's like, you just don't know what it's like to be in love. At which point, Ice Princess Kaguya says, you pieces of crap dare to say that to me. When I was the first one who loved this guy. And it basically is the premise of the story where Ice Princess Kaguya becomes like her normal personality, because at this point she has to know, if I am my true self, does he still love me? You know? So she goes back to her kind of like her sharp and her bitter and her cruel self.
Mm-hmm.
And throughout the movie, it's them kind of coming to terms with the idea of like, well, we all put up fronts whenever we're around other people, because we can't bear to expose ourselves as we truly are. So, you know, it's kind of like this question of like, well, what do you love? Is it the front or is it what's behind it? Could you love what's behind it? Can I even bear to show it? It kind of comes down to this thing where they have like a really meaningful conversation in the last little bit of the movie, where it's like, you know, if I wasn't constantly trying to be who I don't believe I am, you know, the president saying like, firstly, I suck at everything. If I wasn't constantly trying so hard to be perfect at everything, you would never have fallen in love with me. And Kaguya says, well, that's true, but, you know, if I had always been the ice cold, you know, like ice queen, and I hadn't tried to be kinder and sweeter, then you wouldn't have fallen in love with me either. And so the idea is, like, I guess what we can do now is try to be the best that we can be, and when we can't bear it, we just lean on each other. And I was like, that's beautiful. I like where that ends. But yeah, anyway, thoughts on the movie. So, mm-hmm. Sayu, thoughts on the movie.
Absolute cinema, like, dude. The thing is, like, as I stated before, I rarely cry during like any kind of movie. Like, the only movies that have the honor of saying that they got me to cry is Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3 and this one and Kaguya-sama. Like, I do not cry at all. So the fact that this like movie actually got me like bawling my eyes out is something in of itself. It means like it touched me that deeply, and in the good way. I'm not talking
it's not a bad touch. It's a good touch.
Yeah, that's not the touch I'm talking about. I'm talking about the good touch. Like, it touched my heart. You know? Okay.
Yeah,
exactly. It was very like meaningful and like. It reminded me of my like relationships that I used to be in, unfortunately not anymore, but in the good ones that I've been in, it reminded me of the same like way that, you know, Kaguya and Shurigane interact with each other, and they're like, oh, like, if you know, we both can't, you know, take care of ourselves really well, then, you know, we have each other for as long as we have each other for, you know, you get what I'm trying to talk about here. And the fact, like, she has these personas in her head of like, oh, the stone cold version of her, the cute one who's like always positive, and the normal one who just, you know, tries to be optimistic but is also like realistic at the same time. Mm-hmm. I feel like is like the best analogy of how every like human mind functions based on an emotional level, because, you know, all of us have those sides, right? Like, yeah, that Kaguya has. Everybody, we aren't human without them,
right?
And I felt like I deeply connected to it a lot, and like just seeing them like go through this like intense journey that started off very funny. Oh, it's because I gave him tongue while we were kissing.
Yeah, that's right.
He wants to like, yeah, he wants to like smash me. Like, he doesn't like me for that. And I'm like, girl, that's not it. I mean, would he even kiss you if he didn't like you? Like, come on.
Yeah.
Does Shurigane look like the guy who would do kind that? Of. And she started. Wow.
I'm back, okay. By the way.
Okay. Okay.
Welcome back. What a way to come
great,
back.
Great, right there.
Great way to come back.
If I'm not stirring the pot, then the pot's not going to stir.
Oh, my Lord. The Sekiro and his hot takes, man.
I don't have any more for the day. I'll prepare some more. Hold on.
All exhausted. It's all over for today. And like the thing though, I was saying, like, just because of a silly misunderstanding, everything like that she had in her head that she believed in devolved into like this like a whole ass mental breakdown scenario.
Right.
And I feel like that's like the most accurate representation of like someone actually going through this thing. And like the whole payoff at the end, you know, felt really satisfying to me. And also made me wish that I never saw the movie, because like, come on, man, I want to be in like this kind of like a relationship, dude. It's so
it's like the shoujo manga episodes are like, it makes you want to be in love. I want to be in love.
it's literally like that though,
right?
And honestly, a fantastic movie. Like, the fact that it got me to cry at all is something to go by. Like, it's just phenomenal. Like, I'm not even like biased or anything. I'm like speaking from the heart.
That's biased.
Then. I hear you.
Yeah.
The heart is biased.
Hey, yo, what do you mean
heart
by that?
Is extremely biased, my friend.
Oh, what do you
the
mean?
The heart doesn't think logically, so it's all biased. The heart is 100% biased.
Oh, wow.
Oh, see, so Sekiro's Ice Queen Kaguya is what it is.
Ah, yes. Well,
yeah.
She'd be thinking logically.
I'm the chibi Kaguya.
Right.
I'm the chibi Kaguya, man. I
don't know, man. Like, I remember when we first started, got the guys to start watching this, I was like, I'm Fujiwara, aren't I? And nobody gave me like, nobody answered. They were
comment. We all know Gamma is Ishigami, though.
Yeah.
Like, come on.
Gamma's Ishigami.
Yeah.
No doubt.
Yeah.
You get two options.
Yeah.
Speaking of Ishigami, you get two options, I'm assuming, because I don't actually know, between Ino and the other girl he's crushing on, whose name I forgot.
Tsubame.
I'm pretty sure the flower that she got probably came from Ishigami.
Yeah,
I mean,
because
I
he was talking
obvious.
About that.
Yeah, it's super obvious.
The episode
yeah.
I left on, like, hey,
that's not even, like,
flower.
A spoiler. That's just, like,
yeah.
Yeah,
like, well, I'm making guesses because I haven't read it anywhere. But it's, like, obvious that's her. So it's got to be those two end up together.
Nah.
That'd be nice.
Well,
but it feels bad for Tsubame because I really like her.
Now, I'm going to drop a hot take here. I feel like Tsubame wasn't necessary.
Agreed.
Like, she just came out of nowhere.
She did.
I feel like, because they were, like, leading on with the whole, oh, Ishigami and Ino are going to get together, and then Tsubame just drops in out of nowhere like a nuke, and I'm like,
he still wanted to try the love triangle thing, it seems like.
this isn't like this isn't like a huge spoiler, but like by the end of the Kaguya manga, Ishigami and Ino aren't together.
No,
but neither are Ishigami and Tsubame. So the way that this is set up at the end is basically now the question is, will they, won't they?
No.
I don't know. What do you think? And I'm like, Akasaka, why would you do this to me, man?
I was more...
They're stuck in an eternal
triangle. I was more invested in Ishigami's romance than I was in Kaguya's and Miyuki's.
That's not to say that there isn't some stuff that happens with Ishigami, actually. If you guys liked Ishigami, I highly recommend reading the manga, because where he goes from here is actually probably one of the most poignant parts of the story. You know, so I recommend it. You know, like I don't think, if you like Ishigami as he is now, you will love what happens with Ishigami in the story as it
goes. Does Fujiwara ever find love?
Mm-hmm. No comment. Anyway,
the other thing that I was gonna point out too is it threw me off guard when that girl from Ishigami's past was showing up. For a second, I was like, is she on his mind? All the time, I was like, oh, that must be him just thinking about his past. And then, nope, that's the real girl.
She was there for real. Yeah. And then he drops the go to hell, dumbass. Yeah. And I'm like, oh!
Like, so perfect. I'm like, oh, maximum catharsis, let's go! Dude,
this is cinema! Like, goddamn! It was so, like, I keep saying this word, but the payoff was... perfect.
And
for
the
that,
fact
like,
that
moment.
Kaguya had to stop herself from telling that girl, like, hey, this is what happened. And the maid told her, don't do it.
Yeah, because it would be the thing that like kind of ruins what Ishigami did, right? Ishigami went through a lot just making sure that she would have a life that was happy, like, you know, with or without him. And if they told her, well, mm-hmm. the entire time you were the one that was wrong, that would just kind of cause undue trauma, and that's not what he would have wanted, because Ishigami's a man of principles.
Yeah, I'm petty, so I would have made sure she knew. She has to know. He has to know. His storyline's the best, but the payoff was good, but it could have been better.
It could have been better. Like sacral,
so
like Pedro Pascal.
We need the sacral version of this manga.
Proving someone wrong is my favorite thing in life, man. There's nothing better.
Yikes. So, with this said, Sacred, did you have any thoughts on the movie?
It was an OVA, not a movie. There's my first thought.
It was the adaptation of the next, like, 10-ish chapters of the manga.
I mean, it was good. I liked the way it ended. It didn't like the way it started, because it was like, felt like I was regressing again. Mm-hmm. I'm like, no, we just
got
here.
It did feel a little bit like that, yeah.
But I don't have any major thoughts on it, because it just kind of falls around the rest of the thoughts I had.
Okay. So with that being said, I guess like a good way to kind of conclude today's episode is... We've talked a lot about our student council. We've talked about like about, you know, the themes of the show and things like that we enjoyed in it, the best gags. I guess the thing about Kaguya-sama Love is War is that a lot of the comedy happens around our main crew. What do we think about the side characters? I'm talking Keishiro Ogane, Moeha Fujiwara. I'm talking about like Father Shirogane, Dr. Shozo Tanuma, Tsubasa and Kashiwagi, Maki Shijo, those guys. What do you think about those guys?
I like the sister. I think she's realistic in a lot of ways. But how many tsunderes do you need in one story? Like, come on, man.
It is a story composed of tsunderes. Yeah, it is wonderful.
Like four of them.
And, I'll say this, like the episode where she's trying to dress him.
Yeah, so that's my favorite one with them.
That's where I left off, as a matter of fact. She was showing them, like, they were showing her how many clothes they got, and she was like, I cannot work with this.
How is every combination the worst?
I like when he shows up at her festival, and everyone's like, wow, he's so cool. And she's like, nah, he puts his clothes inside out before he washes them. He does this and that. And they're like, okay, he's a good brother then. She's like, yeah, I know. And like that's a good story. There's a problem with anime where if they make a younger sister, they make it gross. Why? Because anime just has to do that. They didn't do
it's
it this
Japan.
Time, and I'm happy
it's
with
Japan.
It.
Yeah, see, like, I'm actually in the process of writing, like, one of those stories, Sacro, and I think you'll love it, see, because it's basically, like, the brother-sister con type thing, and I call it Please, I Incest.
I'm going to find a way to get you canceled. Give me a second.
Wordplay!
I'm going on Twitter right now.
I'm posting about this. I'm calling you out on Twitter.com.
Not a real thing. I just, the wordplay came to mind, and I was like, I have to.
You just had to drop that joke. Bart, you just had to drop the wordplay, man.
Out of the audio, like, chip. Not getting canceled.
Oh, yeah, like, let me scrub it out of the audio with witnesses who can call me out on it.
It's the spinoff of the Exer Fist. It's the Exer Incest.
Oh, no!
Damn it. What?
The Incercist. The
Incercist.
Is that
worse? That's
worse.
That's pretty worse.
He already has a thing for Esser Sisters on Yu-Gi-Oh! Now the we're going to go with this.
You guys are like the Kaguya-sama episodes. You keep one-upping each other on the joke.
That's kind of how we run the show, actually.
That is kind of how the show runs, yeah. So
it sounds like home to me.
So you said Kei Shirogane is your favorite, Sekiro. What do you guys think? Who are your favorite side characters? Your favorite side pieces?
Come on. Papa Shirogane, the goat,
Shirogane,
man.
Is
come on,
great. I love him.
The goat.
Well, after you told me that, I will say him now. Before that,
yeah,
I want to say
Shirogane.
Tsubasa.
Mm-hmm. Fun fact, Kama, if you had watched the movie, there's this joke that they set up about Tsubasa that is just so funny. It is so funny. But anyway, like, we're talking about
joke.
Papa Shirogane for a second. About Papa Shirogane for a little bit. Mm-hmm. I love the way that, like, sexy 1970s, like, seduction music plays whenever he steps on screen. It is the best thing ever.
Every single time.
That's what it was.
Every single time they drop the seductive music, I'm like, oh my god, it's him. Lock the fuck in. Oh. We're in for a ride.
Oh, hide your wives. Mr. Steal Your Girl is here.
Whenever he tells his son, like, hey, god. Talk to me. I'm your sugar daddy. I was like, no.
No, I love how he's trying, right, to, like, communicate with them, and it's the best thing. It's like, okay, one of the duties of a father is to listen to his child's troubles, so come on, tell sugar daddy what's wrong. And I love how Shirogane's reaction is like, please never say that again.
You know that one moment, like, where he was, like, literally in an alleyway where Kaguya was, like, watching Shirogane, like, doing sports or something, and then Papa Shirogane just shows up behind her, like, out of nowhere, and she doesn't even know who he is. So she's like talking to him about Shirogane, like she's just talking to a stranger, and then he's like, "I'm his dad," and she's like, "Oh,
like, oh, president, who would have thought your dad was such a prankster?" He's just like, "Oh man, it's great."
And Shirogane's like, "What the hell are you doing here?"
It's wonderful. It's so I love good. Every time that he shows up, and like Shirogane's go-to thing is like, "Get a job." It's just wonderful.
Get the hell out of here.
Oh yeah, when he called his dad, "Hey, you perv." Because he took a photo of Fujiwara.
Yeah, he had a photo of
Like,
Chica.
I'm taking a picture for this guy.
Oh, that was a great psych out, actually. I hate the trope of a creepy old guy. Yeah, I hate that trope.
Creepy old guy.
And it's just like,
yeah, it's so much.
He was
so
paid to take a picture, so it's like, yeah, it's fine.
Yeah, that was the best part.
Yeah, it was like her father wanted him to take pictures of his daughter. I'm like, okay, that's a great like fake out. I'm like, I was like very worried. I'm like, okay,
yeah, I was like, oh no,
is this the only moment my goat fumbles? But then it's like, oh nope, psych, it was just her dad.
Yeah, he's perfectly fine. He's okay.
It's fine.
I do have one more thing I want to say for a quick second about Tsubame. That made me like her character since Gamer brought it up. She heard the rumors about him and she was still like, I don't believe those because I've met him and he's the nicest guy.
And that was really
and
wholesome.
That's great.
I like that about her.
Because no one else believes them except for the people who literally proved it.
Mm-hmm. Well, the student council believed otherwise, but they had like facts to go off
they,
of. So,
they
I mean, there's
it.
That.
They had a whole folder.
Yeah, they proved it. I would say like
my very wholesome.
My favorite side character, and I don't know if you guys will agree with this, I love Maki. Like Miss Steal Your Man.
Oh
like,
yeah, she was cool too.
Or
oh my god.
As they call her in the Japanese, Tsundere Senpai.
Which one is Maki again?
She's the cousin.
She's the girl Yeah, and she's the girl who is best friends with Kashiwagi, but she liked Tsubasa, but then Kashiwagi and Tsubasa got together, so now she is the eternal third wheel.
She's the second cousin removed.
From Kaguya.
Yeah, the one who's like friends with Ishigami. And he, like,
I like that they're friends. That's so funny to me.
I like that they're like friends and like failing at love, and I love that about her. Like the two episodes where like they're like just what's it called, talking to her about romance are just peak. I love that she's just like, she's like Kaguya but like less serious. She's like Kaguya if Kaguya was just more funny.
Yeah.
And
I like when she drones on about something. Like, she keeps constantly talking about the same thing over and over again, and Ishigami's just looking at her like, what the fuck is she going on about?
yeah And it's one of the best things ever is like, you know, when she's like, oh yeah, well, you know what, like, I'll let him continue to date Kashiwagi. He's young, he's sowing his wild oats, and you know, like, eventually he'll get bored of her and break up with her, and you know, like, then I'll swoop in. And like, Ishigami's like, I don't know, man, if they've tasted the forbidden nectar, there's no breaking up with them. And she's like, what do you mean forbidden nectar? And it's the same thing about like the magazine, like the first time, and Kaguya thought it was a kiss. And like, mm-hmm. Maki, same thing. He's like, oh, their first time? You mean like their first kiss? He's like, no.
No.
It's not what I mean.
And then I don't know. I don't remember who explained it to her. I think it was Chika, right? Who explained it to Kaguya about what it actually was. And then it zooms out of the school, and the narrator's like, and that's the day when Kaguya lost her innocence. I'm like,
it was excellent.
Like, what? Dude, it was so good. I lost my shit during that episode.
I lost it too.
It was like so hilarious.
It was excellent. And I would have to say that definitely, like, I feel like there's an unspoken best boy of the series, and that's the narrator.
I
think we can all agree that the narrator was just great.
Like, I agree that Pocoyo's narrator is great.
Oh, yeah, that's right, because I told you, please watch the dub, and you chose to watch it in Spanish instead. That was weird, but okay. It's an
interesting choice.
It's a choice.
Gamma's anti-dub, I'm pretty sure.
It's a choice, all right.
That's true. It's almost like, hey, Gamma, let me make a recommendation. He's like, okay, and then he'll do exactly what I recommended, but he'll do it in a way that's unpredictable, and I'm like, not what I meant, but okay, you got the right spirit.
It's like that one meme is like, he's not right, but he's got the spirit, though.
Pretty brave of you, Gamma, to be anti-dub with two voice actors in a call together.
Yeah, like, with voice actors in a call.
Yeah, we're literally here,
well,
bro.
Well, if we were going to be doing that tournament episode, you would have been stunned, but I think that's on hold.
Why? The tournament episode? Yeah, we'll get around to that. I don't think it's on hold yet, but like, it's just we haven't set a date for it.
Darker than
we'll
Black as well.
I was gonna say Darker than Black's probably gonna be the one after Oshinoko, so we'll do Oshinoko and then Darker than Black.
Darker than Black at any time.
Me too.
I know. Yeah, I know. Both of you have already seen it. I was the one that needed to catch up. So
I haven't even heard of it.
Oh, you haven't heard of that one. You should check it out.
A lot of people haven't.
It's awesome.
It is pretty good.
Keep that in my next.
It's not on anything. So, you have to watch it illegally.
What? We don't condone things like that. We don't condone people going
totally,
to places.
We're totally not talking about that.
You gotta join Luffy.
Yeah, like this is a bad sacred.
No one
bad,
owns the rights to it. So it's free.
Oh, it's wonderful.
I mean, if no one owns the rights to it, then I mean,
are you claiming the rights to it? It's like,
I
it's
own
mine
the
now.
Rights to it. Season 3 is coming soon. Expect some wild nonsense.
I mean, Sacred, if you could buy the rights to it, would you?
Yes, because season 2 ended pretty awfully.
Yeah.
Well, okay, so it's not awful, but. The idea of it was good, but yeah, it was incomplete. It needed to go to the third season to really bring it all around.
with that being said, let us conclude this episode. Kaguya-sama, Love is War. Yeah, pretty great. It's fantastic. You know, A1 Pictures, I feel like they really went all out. I hope we get a season 4. I personally don't think it's going to happen, but if you guys are interested, I highly recommend you check out the manga, especially going forward, because I know that this goes into Oshinoko territory going forward, and I think Sekiro would enjoy that. I think Gamma would really like to see what happens to Ishigami. And Sayu, I mean, you being a fan of the series, I think that the series will do no wrong. Even if it's more serious going forward, I think you'll still enjoy it.
It did do one wrong. For sure. Ishigami is still single.
No, but you have to understand the context. Uh-huh. But until next time, I have been the Midnight Bard. Well, actually, hold on. Wait 2 seconds, because Gamma and Sekiro are always here with me. Sayu, where can people find you online?
Oh, you can find me on YouTube at TheSayuVA and on Twitter at TheSayuVA, where I make very controversial takes. So beware.
Beware. But,
yeah, that's usually where I am active.
Mm-hmm. And the rest of us, you can find us in the what's it called? X.com as the Battle Phase. And, you know, like, we're also on X.com. Sekiro Gaming, Gia Katabi. We're wonderful. We're fun people. You should get to know us.
I never post on Twitter anymore. I should do it more.
Yeah. So until next time, I have been the Midnight Bard. These have been the boys. Adios.